Good morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk TV, lively talk about life, church, and church life. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney-Britton, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Dr. Chris Tenney-Britton, and we're broadcasting from our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of America. Say good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk TV.
Chris and Bill Tenney-Britton here today to talk about your mission statement, specifically from slogan to strategy. Your mission statement matters. What your mission statement is makes a difference, or at least it should.
Well, it should. And you know, that word mission statement's been tossed around for decades,
yeah.
Right? I mean, goodness yeah. gracious, we heard how many decades ago, we're not going to say. You already know
at
that.
At least one or two.
He's old. But yes, anyways, but we say that, but let's just take it and step it back because a moment and say it's a statement of your mission.
Right.
Right. And let's really, like, we have a mission statement. Okay, what does it say? And it will have all this big, long, gobbledygooky kind of stuff. And we'll say more about that in a moment.
which people can't remember. which means it's not a very good slogan.
Right. Right. But first, before right. we can get to slogan, we have to get to mission statement.
Right, yeah.
And that is to simply state what your mission is. Why do you exist? Why does your congregation exist? Should be boilable down to just a minimum of words. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, All right.
I figured you'd have more to say.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of a mission statement is to define the purpose of an organization, whether it's your organization or Coca-Cola or Disney.
But wait. Right. It's not you define their mission.
Right,
that's
right,
the way
right,
you
right,
said
right.
that.
Oh,
it's
sorry,
like,
yeah.
oh yeah, to define, but
the mission
what's
statement
yours?
Defines the purpose of an organization,
right.
whether yours or someone else's. I mean, that's a mission statement. Every organization needs a mission statement.
Has to have one.
And you know, the successful ones don't just have a mission statement, they have a mission statement that guides every single decision they make. So Disney, let's take Disney for instance. Disney has essentially a twofold mission statement. One, they tell the whole world, and one, they tell the whole world, but quietly, and they don't push it.
They tell their stockholders.
Right, yeah. So Disney's,
and their employees.
Essentially.
Some of them.
All right, so Disney's twofold mission. The first one is, of course, is to entertain, inform, and inspire people around the globe through the power of unparalleled storytelling. I took that off their website. So, you know, that's theirs. I like what Walt Disney had. It was to make people happy. I like that. that was a good solid mission statement. But, I mean, this is a little more refined. We're going to entertain, inform, and inspire people to through the power of unparalleled storytelling. And they're really good at that. Now, they have this other side of it, and it says the company's primary financial goals to maximize earnings and cash flow and to allocate capital profitability towards growth initiatives that will drive long-term shareholder value. In other words, to make a profit.
Wow, that is like everything against what we say
it
a mission
is.
Statement
totally
is, right?
Is.
Like, blah, blah, blah,
yeah, blah, 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 blah.
I told him he could tell you this part because it's too much gobbledygook for me.
The bottom line is it's about making profit.
Yes, to make money.
We're to make money for our shareholders.
Right.
And, of course, for the organization.
And to invest. Yeah, right. Well, I want to go back for a minute
right. To
the first part of that mission statement, to entertain, to inform, and to inspire.
Right.
And we are, again, we're going to say more about this, I'm sure, about that driving what they do. And a few years ago, I don't know how many, Disney Corp, acquired ABC, ABC News. And one of my favorite, as you well know, programs when I get to be home in the mornings, weekday morning, well, even on the weekends, from 7 till 9 Central Time, there's Good Morning America. And Good Morning America, you used to give me a hard time because it what they did with the news. And finally, we got to a place. Exactly. It's not. It's there to entertain, inform, and inspire you. And you'll hear them say that over and over again. They're people on Good Morning America. So what does Good Morning America do? They fulfill that mission of the Disney Corp.
Right,
they exist to entertain, inform, and inspire people. And they do that in beautiful and amazing ways.
They are. The pitch for GMA. The only thing I can say about GMA is I was on it once, so, you know.
There you were.
Anyway, that's my...
with your being on there. They entertained. Well, I think they did entertain people. And I'll tell you what, the inspiration continues to this day. So there it is.
All right. All right. Here's the deal is hopefully you have a mission statement, but the question is whether is it doing anything? Is it just a slogan?
Are you doing it? You know? I mean, that's really it. Yeah. Is it doing anything? Well, hello. Are you doing it?
Right. And, you know, does anyone even know what it is?
Right.
You know, I can't tell you how, you know, when we started our church, we used to carry around gift cards and we would ask random people, so what's the mission of the church? What's our vision?
What's the values?
Whatever. And if they could came up with that, they got a gift card. You know, we were in absolutely committed to making sure that everyone in that congregation knew why we existed, where we were going, and what was important.
Well, and not just there. I've done that in churches that I've pastored, is that, you know, up front in the mornings, being on a Sunday morning and saying, we really welcome you. And who can tell what is it? Why are we here? What's our purpose? And whoever came up with it first, boom, there was your gift card.
Starbucks, gift card, whatever.
Yeah, Starbucks, right? Or McDonald's.
So the question is, what is the purpose of the church? And to be fair, we've been in this business for a while, and we find that most churches have really go down to one of three purposes. Wynn Arn, who was one of the fathers of the church growth movement, he did a study years ago, Rick Warren cites it in his book, Purpose Driven Church. Huh. But he did a study some years ago, interviewed thousands of church members across the United States, and his question was, what do you think the purpose of the church is? And over 80% of lay people said, the purpose of the church is to serve the needs of my family. Now, I'm hoping thinking the spiritual needs of their family, but the bottom line is, no. The church exists for us. And here's the reality is that there's a whole lot of folks, probably in your congregation, and in most congregations, that's really what they think. Well, the church is there to, you know, marry them, bury them, and take care of them, make them feel good. It's their local club.
I mean, we hear that from y'all all the time. I mean, we have pastors that say that in sheer frustration, that's all the people want to do. They don't want to reach out. They don't want to do this. Right. They don't want to do that. I've been in churches, have consulted with churches where they will tell me, members will tell me, that the only reason they're still open is until Aunt Mabel passes away and she's 97 years old, but we're going to have church for her just as long as we are here. And it's so common to hear that. But it isn't just that, right? That's what drives our planning. We need to have the fellowship dinners every week. We need to do this because we need to raise money, which is still us.
So we can keep the roof on over our head, pay the bills.
Yeah,
and,
definitely,
you know,
right.
You know, if we could do good things as well, that'd be good.
Right, send some money out to the food bank.
You can tell what the focus of the congregation is by looking at your bank account or your budget, really, and looking at your calendar.
Calendar.
You know, how are we spending our time? How are we spending our money? And if primarily we're spending the money on our members, and if we're primarily creating events for our members, everything's for evangelism.
Right.
Yeah, really? If a first-time visitor who's never been in church ever walked into your church and sat down and listened to your worship, would it make any sense to them? Is our worship service filled with words that are code words? You know, do we talk about benediction and introits and preludes and whatnot?
Yeah, well, you said to look at the calendar.
Narthexes. Sorry. Yeah.
You said to look at calendars and
the budget.
And you said bank account first. And I want to go there and say more so than your budget, because I've watched a lot of churches, and so have you. Mm-hmm. When push comes to shove, what do they do? They don't do what's in the budget, right? Oh, we spent too much money over here, so we couldn't do that. So it is the bank account checkout, because it's the same for y'all, right? I mean, it's the same for us. You want to see what's important to us in our lives? Look at our calendar and our bank accounts,
right?
So same for the church, your church. Y'all, ask or at your next congregational board, council, whatever, vestry meeting, ask, make sure you look at that that ledger board and ask.
Your budget.
Your payout. You want the expenses paid.
The P&L.
Where is that? Whatever,
right.
What is
your financial
that?
Reports. All right. So, WinArn, study, serve the needs of my family. Now, that is really common. But there's a second purpose that we find in the churches more and more today. It's been going actually since about the 1950s. But there's a sense in which a lot of churches really believe that their purpose is to ease the community and the world's suffering. That the church exists so it can fix the world's ease, whether that's hunger, homelessness, abuse, racism,
it's whatever,
ageism,
whatever,
yeah, whatever
the,
right.
The concern of the day is.
Right, exactly. And right. You know, and whatever is looming large in the community or in the church. And that the church,
be.
Right?
Like in society, it may not be in the community, but we focus on what should be, and we make that our
right.
clarion
and,
call.
And that becomes our purpose. Is you know we're doing everything we can to bolster education or whatever it is, whatever the issue is, as you say, and that that when we do that, of course, then it really we've moved from at least us to reach out. That's not a bad thing. But it really is a bad thing. But the question is are we really designed to be United Way?
Yes, thank you, right? I mean, so many churches, what's the difference between the church and, you know, Lions or Optimists, which we've belonged to so many of those clubs, or I hate calling them clubs
organizations.
Even, organizations, service organizations. But it really struck me watching a minister one time who spent more time working with the
Kiwanis
than he did in his church. And so, you know, he was doing the fundraisers there, you know, at the university and doing this and doing that. And you just, you know, I had to look and I said, wow, well, what does your church do? Oh, they don't do anything. And I was like, oh, well, there could be a reason for that. But people don't know. And that is a whole other, that's about evangelism. It's got an evangelism hook to it as well. But we aren't just there for social reasons.
And don't get me wrong. Most of those churches will tell me and tell us that they're doing that so they can make disciples. But the problem is they never build a bridge. They do the good stuff. And in fact, I've been in congregations that are doing good stuff and they're doing it anonymously because, you know, they want the people to feel good about the church, but they're not really saying it's from the church. They're just, you know, fulfilling some need, which is great. It fulfills some need. Awesome. But they're not doing an evangelism. I often ask, so how's that working for you? How many new members have you got from this? How many baptisms have you done? And they start, you know, counting up, well, none.
Yeah, but that's why we're really doing it. I mean, that's always what the follows that up with. Well, none, but we're not doing it for that.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So serve the needs of my family.
Right.
Serve the needs of the community.
Yes.
And the third is what I would call the biblical mandate.
Oh.
The biblical mission statement, which was given to us by the founder of the church, who said, you know, hey, the point of the church is to make disciples.
Go out and make disciples.
Go make disciples. Not y'all come.
Not y'all come.
Y'all go.
Which is why we do. I mean, we are fundraisers or, again, we've done all, not all this, but we've done more than our share probably of getting attraction events, big, massive attraction events, small things, on and on and on, with that whole thinking of let's get people to come, y'all come, but we forget and have forgotten the next part of that. It's one thing for them to come, but it's another to help, and we can even make Christians out of them, but we've learned, it took us a lot of trial and error to learn that there's a step after becoming a Christian. You don't just leave them in the baptistry. You make disciples.
And a disciple who makes disciples.
And
I call them, we bring them in from visitors, turn them into returning guests. We disciple them so that we can send them out as neighborhood missionaries. That their goal or their our goal is to raise up every person in the congregation to be in missionary to their neighbors. Go ahead.
Every person in our congregation to be a missionary to every person in their neighborhood.
There we are. I love it. Nice slogan.
Isn't that a great slogan?
All right,
yes. We exist to raise our members, to raise disciples. Every church member a disciple.
Just hit rewind and go back
disciples.
There.
Yeah. It was really great when I said it the first time.
Right, exactly. Rewind. All right. So here's the deal, folks, is that hopefully by this point you've figured out that the mission statement for your church needs to be biblically based.
And if you haven't, we've got episodes on how to develop all of that.
Right. And in fact, you can click on the link down below, and there's the workbook for the mission development workbook. You can get and work through that. Here's the deal. A biblical mission is Jesus' biblical mandate. This is what the church exists for. Now, having a good, solid slogan, mission statement, and you can guess it up, and because you don't want to just say, make disciples. We exist to make disciples. Actually, that's not a bad one, but there's a lot of different ones out there that communicate that. The problem is so often we say, well, we want to rework our mission statement, so we put it to a committee. And the committee comes up with something like this. This is a real mission statement from a church that I found. That the mission of our church is to welcome, grow, and share in the grace of Christ's love.
What does that mean?
Well, let's break it down. All right. So to welcome.
Y'all come.
So y'all come. That's right. You know, if you come, we'll welcome you. Okay? So, all right. So that's not make disciples, go ye therefore in all the world. Okay, so welcome doesn't work. Okay, well, to grow. To welcome, grow, and serve in the grace of Christ's love. What is growing? That's all about me. That's all about me becoming a better disciple, a more faithful person, a whatever.
Yeah, but it's also, and this is underlying, it's also about the church growing, right? It's about to welcome people, to grow. There are all entendres that go there. And I can even draw a parallel between that and people growing, because how do most of our churches grow? Through multiplication, right? Through having babies, they grow up. Biological growth, right. Exactly. There it is.
If they were multiplying disciples, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so it's more than multiplication.
Right.
Right, it's about...
Yeah, that's true. Right? It should be more specific.
All right.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
so
okay.
Y'all come, and let's all grow together, whatever the heck that means.
And serve in the grace of Christ's love.
What is that?
Serve who?
What?
Doing what? It's okay. I was an acolyte. I lit the calendars. I lit the candles.
You would like the calendars. Ye who does not keep calendars all the time. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So I lit the candles. I was an elder and served at the table. I was a deacon and I slung the offering plates. I was on the food committee, and I helped open the food pantry.
I greeted people at the door,
right.
So what does that mean? And how many people know what grace is? I mean, grace is a pretty hefty, loaded word, right?
This whole thing is for the insiders, though.
Right.
Everything here is for the insiders. It's not for the outsiders.
I don't know how many insiders know serve in the grace of Christ's love.
No, either way, it's an insider language,
and
this whole thing has been
so inspiring,
right? Well, it's written for insiders, and it's not disciple making. Okay, God so loved the world, He didn't send a committee. You know, here's the deal: get a couple wordsmiths and sit down and create a mission statement that is, you know, something like, I don't know, helping people say yes to Jesus, making disciples who make more disciples, invite, grow, send. That's another, and we've seen all those. All of those at least point to, we're about disciple making.
Yeah.
So you need a good slogan, all right? And Jim Collins says it would be well if it was short enough to fit on a bumper sticker or on a t-shirt. So making disciples, invite, grow, send,
that was,
saying
I,
yes to I, Jesus,
yeah,
whatever.
One of the churches I pastored, invite, quit, care, go. And that was over 20 years ago, and I can still remember it.
Right.
Not like other ones that I've worked with, right?
But a statement is little more than a slogan if it's not put into action. And here's what happens in most churches, not some churches, most churches. They work hard and they come up with even a really good mission statement, a good mission slogan, we're going to go, whatever, and it goes onto the front of the bulletin.
Yeah.
It gets put into a frame somewhere, is painted over the top of the transom as you leave the church so you can see it, and that's about the end of it.
Or they may repeat it at the end of services. I've seen that happen as well. Some of you may have experienced the rancor of putting together a mission statement. Been in several churches, not just one or two, where you say, do you have a mission statement? Well, yes, we do. And I said, well, what is it? And they say, well, I don't know. And I said, well, where is it? And they think it's in a drawer somewhere. And I found a minister rifling through the drawers of his wooden desk, trying to find that. Oh, here it is. But then I'm going to jump here. You can take us back if we need to, because I want to share the story of Minnie Smith up in Hannibal, Missouri, at Fifth Street Christian Church. And they, when I worked with them one of the first times, asked about that mission statement. It was that, well, yeah, we got one somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And so they did get it. They did pull it out. They were able to all say, yeah, that is it. And the next time I got back, they had written it, and it written out, and it hung on a wall. And they then moved from there for planning or what they were going to do. It was always in front of them, but always within their mind. They looked at what they were doing that was important to them, that, you know, those sacred chili suppers, or I'm not sure, Minnie, forgive me, I doubt it was a chili supper, but, you know, along that we have in our churches, and you can't do away. But then they started to say, okay, how does that fit our mission statement, or how will we make it so that it honors and is our mission statement?
So really, that's
and they grew. Oh my word, they grew.
This is the key, folks, is that it can't just be a mission statement. It has to be your North Star that you steer by, if you will. It's got to be the map that takes you there. You need to align your congregation with the mission statement. And this is where the vast majority of churches fail. Billy Sim and I did a study years ago and looked at all the churches we knew that were seriously growing. And we reached out and asked about their mission statement and asked the place of mission in these churches. And 201, their mission statement that they had adopted wasn't just a slogan. It was the decision-making tool that they used. Will this fulfill our mission? And if it didn't, they wouldn't do it.
Right.
And if it did, they would look at their vision and their values. And if it was within the vision, the mission, the values, then they were focused. They were focused on making that happen. Making that ministry happen for sure. All right. So how do you get mission aligned? Okay, so there's a three-step process to aligning your congregation. And I want to say you have to be intentional in it. So start with easy steps. And the easy steps is this. Number one is start with your current decision-making. That when you're at your board meeting, vestry meeting, whatever, and any decision, and I mean any decision, comes up, then the first question out of someone's mouth, find a mission champion. Say, your job is to ask that question. Every time a decision comes up, you're to ask that question, does this align with our mission?
No, I've got to interrupt there. It's not does, it's how. Because over and over again, when we ask that as a yes or no question, people will all go, yeah, it does. And you get one person saying yes, nodding their head, the rest of them are going to go with it. That question is, how does this?
Or how will this?
How will this?
Right.
Yeah, how okay, does,
yep,
how will yep. this?
Align
right,
or further.
I like that, fulfill or further. You know, well, how will it fulfill or further our mission?
Okay, excellent. Okay, so every decision gets made. And if the answer is no, then it's a non-starter.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. It's just, well, but it's a good thing.
It's a good thing
for some other church.
Committee.
Or it's a good thing for some other organization.
Right.
But it's not good for us. If it doesn't fulfill our mission, we don't do it. So that's number one. And you just get used to that.
Right.
You're asking that question at every decision, and you do that for a couple months until people are used to that.
It won't take long.
Then the next step is to begin to expand, to look at your existing ministries. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, that's Pastor Minnie, what Pastor Minnie did. It's not, it is expanding, but it's as it's time to renew, to redo your calendar for the next year, you're looking at what's on that calendar.
Right.
What's in that budget.
What's always, you know, we do Vacation Bible School the third week of June every year.
Okay, so we're going to look at that and we ask, how will that fulfill or further our mission? Now, because you want to ask it that way.
Right. Yeah,
because you can say, oh, well, how does that? And people are going to, because you know, Vacation Bible School in most churches is very, talk about sacred, right? So they're going to automatically make it, you know, right. Of course it is. And here's right. How, blah, blah, blah. So it's not how has it been, how will it?
Well, and I want to push on a little bit on that because it is how has it been. You want to look at the results of the last 5 years.
That's how you get back to it.
Okay. Is okay. Great. Okay. Yes. It's you know, we're going to make disciples out of it. Okay. So great. I understand that. That's the purpose of Vacation Bible School. How has that been working for us? Well, how many baptisms did we do of people who are now effective disciples of Jesus? Well, in the last five years, and see, here's the deal: is a lot of times we think things are missionally aligned when they're not actually accomplishing the mission. We've named them as missional, but they're not fulfilling the purpose. They're not doing what needs to happen. So then you have a choice of two choices. You scrap it or you retool it. If we're going to, if it really isn't mission aligned, then we either tap it, or we just go, no, we're not going to do it, or we fix it. We have to fix it.
Which brings us really to our third point, because I'm sitting here watching. I know we're starting to run out of time. And the third is, to use your language, is be ruthless. I'm not...
Actually. That's Bill Easton's language.
Okay, be ruthless. Yep. Okay, so my guys here, be ruthless. But it really is just be direct, be real. I won't say the words that are coming to my mind. Be mission-focused. And if you're in leadership, you're responsible for the church and for the church's mission. This is a huge, I would hope it's a huge burden on your shoulders, not the conflict, not any of that stuff. Because guess what, folks? That is going to go by the wayside over the next year to 2 years if you will hone in on that statement of mission and move from it being some statement that you toss around, some slogan, move from your mission slogan to being totally, totally driven by the what your mission statement states.
Yeah, and churches that are focused on the mission, on biblically based mission, they're focused on making disciples, whatever words you use. Those churches that are doing that, they align their sermon, your preaching needs to align with that. Your order of worship service needs to align with that. Vacation Bible School, the fundraisers, if you're doing fundraisers.
Chili dinners.
Right.
Whatever it is. The barbecue.
It has to line up. How is this making disciples? If it's just making money and not disciples, I think Jesus had a thing about that, about serving two masters, et cetera. Yeah. Anyway, here's the deal, is if it's lined up with the mission, your church will grow, period. And again, Esam and I did the study, and it was very clear that those churches that were ruthless at pursuing their mission above all else, they saw growth. They saw more disciples, they saw more baptisms, and they saw more people coming to Christ and the church growing because they were focused.
If you don't have a mission, you can't hit it. Right, you can't reach. It's like a target. You can't hit it if it's not there. And we tend to think in terms of target, in terms of money and people, right? And that's what we hear over and over in the church. We want to push you past that to think in terms of disciples. How many of those baptisms have you done? How many people are growing spiritually, which means they're in small groups? How many of the people are now discipling others? What does that look like for you?
How many of those are out in the field? Mission field of their neighborhoods.
Yes, and I could say more, but guess what? We are so out of time.
We will see you next week. Have a great week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.